1 through 9. Isaiah chapter 58. Shout it aloud. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they said, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." And then we turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with 13, reading through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the word of the Lord. I'm going to sing a children's song, and if you know it, please sing along. Jesus bids us shine with a clear, pure light, like a little candle shining in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. There's no need for light unless there's darkness. And fundamental to understanding the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and the need for baptism, for confession of faith, for repentance, is because of darkness all around. In this world of darkness, we must shine. And if you think this is not a dark place, then the gospel has very little to say to you. No one knew better than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ how dark the world can be. He died on the cross, and there was 3 hours of darkness. In the Sermon on the Mount, he mentions many dark things people do and people endure. The poor of spirit, mourners, persecution, lawbreakers, murder, adultery, divorce, perjury, vengeance, all terrible acts of darkness that cause us to suffer. Think also of the passage that I read from Isaiah chapter 58, where God says to the prophet, cry out loud, tell people how bad they have been. The people are rebellious, he says. Yell out loud, they sin. They do not practice righteousness. They do not obey God's rules. They seek their own interests. They oppress their workers. They quarrel. They hit each other with wicked fists. And in the meanwhile, they say, oh Lord, bless what we did. I mean, that's crazy, right? To sin for all your worth and to say, God, bless my sins. That's in fact what they're being accused of. Bless my sinful behavior. And God says, that makes absolutely no sense. Isaiah, a little bit later, has this wonderful text where he says, we human beings are like the blind that grope our way along the wall to try to find our way. How can we let light shine when we ourselves are so often in darkness? Where we have also, most of us, been known to contribute to the darkness of the world. So against the background of this gross darkness, that's also an expression from Isaiah, this gross, thick, scary darkness, we need to read what the Bible tells us about light. Because otherwise we won't know how to let light shine. And what does it mean for us to be light? The very first thing that God created was light. And in many passages in the scripture, we read of God continuing to let light shine into the dark world. And that is grace at work. That's God's goodness. That's God saying, well, the world has tumbled into darkness, and I'm going to leave everybody in the dark. No, God says that's not going to happen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God's light still shine, and that shining is grace. Scientists have long debated what light is. Probably you know that. Is light a stream of particles that come to us from the sun, or is it a bunch of waves, or is it both together coming? There's still debate about that. But whatever light is, nothing can really exist with some exceptions. No life can exist with some exceptions unless there is light. Therefore, when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, he says that Christians have received something from Jesus that we and the whole world cannot do without. Absolutely essential for everybody to receive that light. Light is not a luxury It is a necessity. When God and His people let the light shine, then life comes into the world. Wisdom comes into the world. Justice, goodness comes into the world. When light shines, it points the way before us so that we know where to walk and can find the path again where God wants us to go. There's a number of things to note about that. We do not originate light. The word that is used here for light is a word from which we get actually many words in English. It's phos, like in phosphorus. If you're an old person like I am, you maybe will remember watches that you could put on the nightstand at night and let some light shine on it, and then later at night that would still glow and you could read the time without turning the lights on. Anybody remember that besides me? Yeah, you remember. Oh, does that mean that's not as long ago as I thought? Yes. Now that's phosphorus. It reflects the light, it keeps it for a while, and gradually releases it after a number of hours. They're completely dark again. We shine light only when God first shines on us. That is the point. Like the light of the moon. The moon creates no light. Although we often speak about moonlight. But moonlight is also sunlight. Isn't that true? It comes from the sun, shines onto the moon, and so we still get a little bit of sunlight. And that's good to contemplate, that we're reflected light. Because if I make the mistake and say to you, I'm like the sun that shines on you, that would be a terrible mistake. But if I'm able to reflect a little bit of the light of God, then maybe I can be a blessing. And I think we should pretend to know more than be able to reflect some light. But when there's no moon and it's full of the cloud covers all the lights from the sky, it's pitch dark. So dark that we are very eager at sometimes, even for a match or a cigarette lighter or any form of light to find our way. So it's that kind of reflected light, I believe, that Jesus has in mind when he says, you are the light of the world. And Jesus talks of the light as grace, which shone most, like, ironically, brighter on coming from the cross than from anywhere else. What we consider to be the suffering and the death and the darkness of the cross, that is the brightest light that ever shone. That's a paradox, but I believe it's correct. So I want to make three fairly brief points about how we can make our light shine. We should do all we can to figure out how the light of life works. How we can figure out why life is so dark for so many, and what we can do as Christian people to let at least a little bit of light shine into this dark world, you in your small corner and I in mine. So we are like the moon, reflecting light. There are three points that I think are helpful for us to let the light shine. I think the place to begin is for all of us to really get to know the scripture well. Not just to be able to quote, John 3:16, what does it say? Oh yeah, we know that. But well in the sense of growing in depth of understanding. Depth of understanding who God is and what God has done. Because I think it can be quite possible for us to know a fair amount about Scripture without a lot of wisdom, without a lot of insight, or without a lot changing. Perhaps some of you remember the Russian leader Khrushchev. Khrushchev was a man who could, if you say, would you start with Matthew 1 and keep going as far as you can, you'd be there all day. He could just quote the Scripture on and on and on. He had memorized it by the time he was about 12. Did it make him wise? Did it transform him? Not by a long shot. A great deal of harm has, in fact, been done in the name of God. Not just by other religions, but by Christian religions, Christians as well. There's a lot of the story of Christianity that you say, if people had only known the scripture and been transformed by it, would have been a different story. People misquote God. The first one to do that was Satan. Has not God said? No, he didn't say what the serpent said. He said, no way. So truly to let the light shine, we need to know what that light is. And the place where we learn what that light is from Jesus and from his scripture. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. That's the scripture. So that's the first thing we need to know. I came across these words about a week ago. Too often in the history of religion, people have killed in the name of the God of life. We have waged war in the name of the God of peace, hated in the name of the God of love, and practiced cruelty in the name of the God of compassion. So the second thing that we really need to look at is ourselves. Knowing scripture, it is really for us to be transformed. So to what extent has the scripture shaped us? How would we be different having lived with scripture for a long time than if we had not known it at all? Well, the little quote that I read just now is fairly judgmental. There are many people who have done a great deal to try to be good servants of the Lord, who have tried very diligently to let the light shine. And that is the second thing that we need to know. How are we responding to what we receive? How did it make us different? And how is there part of us that needs still to become different? So the second part for letting the light shine involves some tough self-examination. It's tough. How we measure up. The third thing is that we need to learn to know the society, the culture in which we live. What are the values of the people in the neighborhood? What are their needs? What are the ways of thinking? How can we speak to someone unless we listen first and know who they are? And how can we say something useful to them unless we know who they are? So to be bearers of the light in a health-giving way, we need also to be listeners. Where do we live? How do we live? What do we do? And it's very easy for us to condemn everything in sight and say, oh, that neighbor, I mean, that's terrible by who he is. There's no need for us to do that, really. In our world, which is once again in such turmoil and in such unrest, in which violence comes nearer and nearer, and people are afraid, we need thoughtful, discerning Christians in this world to be light for the world. We need to help each other with that. I need you to tell me what you know about the culture in which we live, and vice versa. Those are three things that I have in mind. Some ways to discern how we can and should let the light shine. If we really do our best to know Scripture well, to know ourselves well, to know the world in which we live well, we will be a blessing to the world. Nobody will look down their noses at us anymore. We will be the blessing which the world so very badly needs. not at all difficult to find topics on which we disagree with each other. We need to help each other with that and find the way together. Just as God has blessed us with the light shining in the face of Christ Jesus, so we can be, if we listen to what God says, a blessing when in all humility we say and show and live Christ's light in this world of darkness. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.